Every Thursday at 8:30, we welcome in the top employment lawyer in Canada. His name is Howard Levitt. He appears with Jerry every day at 10. He has his own show Sundays at 1. Very busy employment law practice and takes time to join us on Thursdays. Howard Levitt, welcome back to the show.
Barb, I'm always delighted to be on your show.
Oh, it's so nice to have you. And, you know, there's this great story about a huge, huge win for you that will affect many, many people who are let go of their company and still they feel they're still owed a bonus. This went to the Supreme Court of Canada. This is huge. Can you tell us a little bit about David Matthews and his story because you represented him?
Well, it's funny. I just broke what I was doing to take this meeting with you and your listeners. And what I was doing was writing about it for Saturday's Financial Post. So let me give you a little bit of a sneak preview.
Right.
David was a guy who was just wanted the right thing and wanted to make Canadian law. And even the court acknowledged that, that with him, it wasn't just about the money. It really was about principle. And it really was about principle. He worked for a company, Ocean Nutrition, in Nova Scotia. And he had a deal. He was an executive that if the business ever sold, and it looked like it was going to sell, he'd get a percentage of the sale price, which turned out in his case to be $1.1 million. But he had a guy, Marky Mullen, working as his boss who treated him miserably. And finally, he wanted to keep working to get this massive payout, but he couldn't take it anymore. So he quit and moved actually to Peru to take a job there. Well, 13 months later, the company sold. He would have got $1.1 million. He sues for constructive dismissal. The court gives him constructive dismissal, saying he gets 15 months notice, but because he signed a contract saying that what bonus you'd get after, and in this particular LTIP contract, you don't get that bonus if you've left for any reason. Resign, be fired with or without cause, clause upon clause upon clause reaffirming that point. So the Nova Scotia Court of Appeal, 2-1, said he did not get it. He then came to me, went to the Supreme Court of Canada, and they said, presumptively, you're entitled to get that money, whatever money you get during the 15 months notice the court awarded. And unless the contract was so clear that it covered exactly his circumstance, which would basically have to say if he was fired in bad faith or was constructively dismissed in bad faith, he wouldn't get it. He gets it. Secondly, the court said, and this is something that most commentators so far, there have been lots of commentators in the last week. There's not that many Supreme Court of Canada cases in employment law. There's been 30 in history.
Wow.
Haven't picked up on, but the court said there's a duty of good faith that every employer has to their employees. And if the employer doesn't act in good faith and the employee suffers damages because of that, they can sue for it. So in a nutshell, Barb, that's the case.
Somebody asked me when I was bragging about you, somebody asked me, why, and is it because it went to the Supreme Court? Why does this judgment now make a difference for so many people?
Because most people, I think, have some sort of bonus or other benefit. It might just be a Christmas bonus. But let's assume a secretary was sexually harassed by their boss in November and said, I can't take this anymore, and quit justifiably. And she sues for wrongful dismissal, but she had a contract saying you have to be there to get your Christmas bonus, like most companies have. Well, in this case, says she's going to get a Christmas bonus anyway. It affects most Canadians, and because it's the Supreme Court of Canada, it's absolutely binding on every other level of court across Canada.
So when that person who was harassed gets a lawyer, the lawyer points to this case and says this is why she gets her bonus.
Because of the Supreme Court of Canada, because the case is already being written about everywhere, companies are going to know about this case. HR managers are going to know about this case. It's not a secret. It's not like one of the hundreds of judgments we get
right
every year in Ontario and in other provinces as well. It's one of like 30-odd Supreme Court of Canada cases in Canadian employment law history.
Well, you don't need to hear it from me, but I'm proud of you, Howard Levitt.
Well, thank you, Barb DiGiulio.
You're in the history books. I mean, not that you weren't already, but that's very, very exciting.
You know, this is my third time up, and, you know, number two has been in one. No other lawyer but me has been lead counsel in more than one employment law case at the Supreme Court of Canada. I've now done three and that's won fantastic. All of them and won them all unanimously.
Wow. All right. That's why we've got people lined up to talk to you. Because you're the okay, best in the biz. All right. 416-872-1010. Text us at 71010. Let's start with Jeffrey. Welcome to the show, Jeffrey.
Hi, how are you this evening?
Great, thank you. Go ahead with Howard.
Hi, Mr. Levitt. I had a question. I've been with the company now for about 24 years. It's a small company, and my boss has decided to retire. And from my understanding, the company is up for sale. Doesn't look like he's had any buyers yet. And they're talking about closing the company. And I just wanted to know if I'm entitled to any type of severance.
Well, what do you do there? And what do you earn a year? And how old are you?
I'm 51.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the painter.
Okay. So I paint. What do you make a year?
Right now, I'm on a salary for $80,000 a year.
Okay. I would think a court would probably give you 16 months' pay. A generous judge might give you 18 months' pay, but 16 months is pretty reliable in terms of what you'd get. Mm-hmm. Now, I hope there's assets in the company if he doesn't sell it and shuts it down. I just hope there's assets there that you can collect. That's always the worry if it's a tiny company and the owner retires and maybe retires without having enough of a business to sell to anybody else. I can't speak to that.
Yeah,
go to court, you get your judgment for your 16 to 18 months. Whether you'll be able to collect on that judgment, I don't know. I'd have to know more about the financials of your company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, to my understanding, he's retiring and he's co-owner with his brother, who owns 25% of the company. And his brother's not sure what he's going to do yet. I was curious because I'm hearing all these rumors about people losing their jobs and they're not getting severance, and then I'm hearing that people can collect. And I just wanted a couple questions on it answered. That was it.
Okay. Yeah. But I guess the bottom line, Howard, is
people are losing their jobs and not getting severance. Everybody who loses their job who's not in a union has a right to wrongful dismissal damage. In your case, mm-hmm. it'll be 16 to 18 months. Okay. I'm pretty comfortable with 16 months. That's $107,000. Plus whatever the value of your benefits are, any pension or anything else you have. That's mm-hmm. a lot of money. You will get a judgment in that amount. Whether you can collect the judgment, I don't know. I'd have to know a little bit more about the company. Since you say it's up for sale and no one wants to buy it, that just makes me twig in the back of my mind whether there's any assets in that company. But if there are, you'll get it. And they can't take the assets and give them to someone else. You've got a lawsuit going. That's called a fraudulent conveyance. So they've got to let the money stay there. At least you can trace it.
Okay, Jeffrey, thanks for the call. And I guess, Howard, too, the bottom line about that is just because somebody decides to retire and shut down a company doesn't mean they don't owe the employee severance.
You see this, Barb, all the time in dental or medical offices or little law firms that shut down, and they tell their assistants and their bookkeeper, we're shutting down now, and then they think they can go away into the sunset. But no, especially since a lot of them are incorporated, there's a lawsuit against that person. So they have to really give lots of advance working notice to that employee if they don't sell the company and transfer the employment somewhere else.
All right. Howard Levitt is here. He's Canada's top employment lawyer, Levitt LLP. You can hear him weekdays at 10 with Jerry Agar, Sundays at 1 on his own show, Employment Law. And he joins us every Thursday evening at 8:30. And we've got someone who has been waiting patiently on the line. Hi, Clifford. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you, Barbara?
Great, thank you. Go ahead with Howard.
Howard, I wanted to ask you, there's a hairdresser that was self-employed, and about 3 or 4 years ago, I worked for 3 months to use excuses, kept on getting in touch with her every month for the last 4 years to ask her to pay the $7,000 that she owed me. She used excuses that said he had no money and was taking big money from students and working and paying for her mortgage. But instead, when I asked her for her money, she kept on refusing. So even though it was 4 years ago, can I still do anything to get that money?
No, you cannot, because it's 4 years ago. There's a 2-year limitation period on any claim in Ontario other than a sexual assault. So
yeah, but I didn't have any lawyer, and I didn't even know what to do.
If you're an employee of the company, You could have, for free, gone to employment standards and had your wages collected.
I did, but they couldn't do nothing.
Well, I don't understand why they couldn't. Maybe they said you weren't an employee. They were an independent contractor. I can't speak to that, but they collect wages. And you could sue in small claims court, but if you do nothing for 2 years, you're just out of luck. I'm sorry.
So I have to go to the Employment Standards Act or...
It's too late now.
It's too late.
4 years. You had 2 years to sue. And generally, you have 2 years to sue, but I'm always recommending to everyone, don't wait 2 years. Don't wait 1 year. Don't wait 6 months. Do it immediately, because the longer you wait, there's a psychological aspect to every case. If you wait too long, the other side thinks you're not that resolute. Then they're going to put up more of a fuss. If you come after them right away, they say, you know your rights. If you were entitled to it, they're more likely going to pay you. But if you wait a while, they're going to have already taken the money themselves and spent it on something else, at least in their mind, or think, well, this person's not that serious, or they wouldn't have waited this long. I'll fight them.
You know, as you're having that discussion with Clifford, it brought to mind something you and I have discussed before, but we haven't discussed it for quite a while, and I think it's always a good reminder. When people are being let go by their company and they're offered some kind of package and they're told you have to sign it by this date, people really panic about not having it signed by that date, and you have a very different way of looking at it.
Exactly the opposite. Well, first of all, if we're going to sign it, then I guess you'll sign it. And if they want you to sign it by date X, believe me, if you sign it a day later or 10 days later or a month later, they're just as happy, even happier, because they've not 98% of the time given you a good offer. They're giving you an offer they want you to take. So when I write back on behalf of an employee, I, as a matter of practice, let that time lapse and only write back after that time to show the employer they're no longer in control. And I'll get clients panicking. You got to respond. I said, why do you care? We're rejecting it anyway. What difference does it make if we respond on time? We're saying no. Trust me on this one. Let's wait till after. Then we'll respond and say no, because it just changes the psychological dynamics. This person worked for the company for 18 years. They've always jumped to the company's tune. And all of a sudden, for the first time, they're not. And that's part of the psychological game, too.
And I think it feels like, and I've heard this from other people I know, in some cases, they're afraid that if they don't sign it by that date, like, their situation is going to get even worse. Can the company withdraw that offer if you don't sign it by that date?
Of course they can, even if you do sign it. Even if they can withdraw it before that date. But the reality is, why would they? They're making an offer hoping you take it. It's their first offer. It's like going to a car dealership and taking the first offer, and the employer, well, I'm making this offer now, but I'll hold it open for 3 days. Believe me, in a month, they'll be ecstatic if you take it. It's like any offer. It's a first offer. They expect you to negotiate, or they hope you won't. They hope you take it. But the reason they're giving you 5 days is to panic you into accepting a bad offer.
Wow. I remember talking to someone I knew who was let go, and I said, as I always do, have you talked to an employment lawyer? You might be able to get a better offer. And this person said, oh, they've been good to me. I trust the company.
Right.
And she told me what the offer was, and it didn't sound like very much considering how many years she had been there.
You know, employers may well have been good to that employee for all of those years, but now they're not their employee anymore. Now they're spending money on an ex-employee, which does no value to the company anymore from their perspective. They want to spend their money on profits to the shareholders, on motivating current employees. They don't really want to spend any more than they have to on former employees. So the whole legal landscape and psychological landscape has changed when an employee is fired. So the fact that they might have been trustworthy for 20 years doesn't mean they're going to be when they let you go.
416-872-1010. Text us at 71010. Howard Levitt is here for a few more minutes, not many. So if you do want to call, give us a call now, 416-872-1010. I wanted to ask you about something we talked about at 7:30. It was the announcement by Education Minister Stephen Lecce that the province is moving to get rid of Regulation 274. And that is the one, as I'm sure you are aware, that states that principals, well, whenever teachers are being hired, it is not based on merit. It is based on seniority.
Well, isn't that wonderful?
I think so.
It's wonderful.
What do you think?
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. look, the problem we have in that profession and so many other professions is they know they can't be fired. They know they can't really be disciplined very easily. They know they have a job for life. They know if they don't work very hard, they're going to get the same pay and benefits anyway. There's no real risk. So the fact that merit goes into the equation, first of all, you're going to get better teachers. But secondly, there won't be that same security that creates bad teaching.
Well, let me read you a text I got, and I think you're going to love it. I laughed out loud. Imagine someone writes in at the time we were discussing it. Imagine you're on a waiting list for 7 years for an apartment in an exclusive area you really like, and then somebody applies for it today and gets it before you. Doesn't seem fair, does it? That's why seniority is important.
It is ridiculous, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, there's no difference between those two candidates, presumably. It's just a matter of how long they've been on a waiting list. Here we're talking about hiring the better person, the person who's going to be a better teacher for your children, the person who's going to be more motivated, have more energy, have more enthusiasm, be closer to the craft. It helps the students. Don't we want the best possible teachers rather than just the one who's been there the longest and hung out and has memorized their lessons 40 years ago and isn't bothering to put any more work into it? I'm not saying all older teachers like that, obviously, but merit means the older ones. You know, if merit applies, the more senior teachers actually have an advantage. They've done it longer. Just like I have an advantage over a young lawyer.
Right.
But if a young lawyer's better than an older lawyer and more motivated, that's who you want in front of your children.
Well, and that's what I've said. This doesn't mean that the teacher with the most seniority is not going to be the best candidate for the job, but at least open it up so that the principal can determine who is.
The best candidate for the job is the better teacher, period.
The better teacher.
The only concern I have is whether you can trust the principals to make the selection, whether the old boy and girls network applies there too.
I wouldn't trust the principals either. And that's a tough one. I mean, they say there are checks and balances in place to avoid the issue with nepotism, but...
Was the director of the Board of Education with tens of thousands of employees under them? I doubt it. I don't know who the checks and balances would be. Mm-hmm. The school trustees don't have really insight into particular schools. A pair of teachers' associations who have no power. No, there's no checks and balances. That's nonsense.
We've had some people call in late, but we don't have any time. We've got to wrap it up. It's always great to have you on, Howard Levitt. Thank you so much for this.
Barb, till next week, thanks for having me, as always.
Talk to you soon. Howard Levitt, he is Canada's top employment lawyer. You can hear him weekday mornings at 10 with Jerry Agar, and he has his own show Sundays at 1, in addition to his very busy practice, Levitt LLP. We're lucky to have him.